You know, struggle, wrestle with, give us choose to face that weakness, those struggles all by ourselves. You might say, well, no, we have the Lord with us and he helps us. And that's true. But he never intended, why do you think he made the body? Why do you think he made this the body of Christ that is? Why do you think he made the statement, it's not good for man to be alone, but for them to have relationships? Your neediness, part of the solution to that, is how much you're willing to jump into relationships with one another. It's why we've decided to try, again, to put together different elements of the way we function together. One is the wellness partner. Wellness partnering is where you say, you know, I need a person in my life, or I want to be a person for somebody to be their strength, or both. You know, I need a person and I want to be a person. And I want to be there for someone. So I want to commit to a person that I'm going to contact every week. I'm going to either call them or text them or some form of communication with them just to check and see how they're doing. They can check on me and see how I'm doing in all areas of life. And I want to support them, be there for them if possible, if the door is open, to even provide admonition and correction and those kind of things. And that's, we're calling that a wellness partner. And some of you have said you're interested, you'd like to be a part of that, and I appreciate that, and we're holding on to those names, and I'm still holding out for some more. And so if you've not texted me or called me or messaged me or told me in some way, hey, you know what, I'd like to be a wellness partner, I want you to do that. Because if you don't have at least a person to go to, and even if so, we still need more people, then you're going to stay in that weak state. If you try to do it alone, you're going to stay weak. You are. It's just the reality of things. If you try to go it alone, God never meant you to do that. So these are things that we have in place for our own benefit. Also, testimonies. How many of you have ever been encouraged by hearing somebody's testimony of what God has done in their life? Okay? And sometimes that person that gave the testimony never knew that it did something in you. But we don't have that opportunity if we're not sharing those things. So if you're interested in sharing a testimony, we're going to look for the most fitting place to put that, whether we're going to do it in a service or we'll give it to you in written form or we'll put it on one of our social media platforms or a video. But we would like for you to, if God's doing something in your life, and I hope God's doing something in your life. If he is, I want someone else to know about that. Okay. The other is those summaries that we have. Some of you are so busy that you've worked different things, you can't make it here for some reason, and you can't squeeze in, you know, 45 minutes or so to listen to a whole message. Well, I've decided that, and I've been doing this the last few weeks, I redo the entire message just in a summary form of like 5 to 15 minutes, somewhere in that range. So if you have that limited time, then please go on to the YouTube channel or the Facebook page and keep up, because I believe what God's showing us as far as how to live out this Christian life, it needs to stick with us. You see, the Word of God has no benefit if it just comes in, goes out, and doesn't remain. Isn't that what Jesus said with the parable of the sower of the seed? That the ones who bore good fruit, that seed of that Word, it dug in roots and it remained. We want to make sure these things remain in us, don't you? You don't want to be weak forever, right? We want to be strong. And yet sometimes we know that we're weak in different ways, sometimes with our bodies. I know if you're like me, but I'm a constant checking of everything type person. You know, some ache, and I'm like, what is that? What is that? And I go online, I start searching things, and I try to figure out, what causes that? What's making that happen? What's wrong with me? And you know what the funny thing is when you do those searching? Anybody care to admit that you're like me? Some of you do that? You start getting online, okay? Some of you are waving a hand like this. Is that sometimes you find that the symptoms you're feeling might be this small minor thing that's, you know, you might as well not even treat, just learn to tolerate, or it could be taken care of really easily. Or those same symptoms could be this huge, life-threatening thing, and the symptoms are the same for both. And then you go to bed at night feeling warm and fuzzy feelings inside, right? Or sometimes there's symptoms of things that I have found as I've done study on things, just to confess, I have indigestion and back problems, and I've gone through and searched things. You know what I've found? I have found that irritable bowel syndrome causes back pain, spinal issues. So well, that's interesting. So maybe if, you know, that gets treated, my back pain will go 2-in-1. But then I also found out that back pain and spinal issues can cause irritable bowel syndrome. So which came first? This one caused it or the other one caused it? And which one needs treated? Which one's the actual problem? And I don't know if you've known this, and we've been saying this. You are a physical person. If you didn't know that, just touch yourself and see. You're a physical person. You have feelings and emotions. You have a mind. You think through things. You have different aspects of your life. And as much as we would love to compartmentalize things and get things into a box and deal with that problem one problem at a time, most of the things that you're wrestling with have their hands in almost all of those boxes. When you're having a physical issue, it's often affecting your mood. Anybody ever get cranky when your body doesn't feel good? That's your emotions at work being caused by how your body feels. Or sometimes how you feel emotionally gets you all stressed and tensed up, and it affects your body. And many times what's happening in your spirit is affecting your body and your emotions and your relationships and your finances, and all the things are connected. And we would love for things to just be simple, wouldn't you? I mean, have you ever gone to a doctor and explained and thought, I walked out of that place not knowing, you know, what's wrong with me and what's the solution? Because it's complicated. Because there's so, and sometimes the doctor doesn't know. Have you ever felt like the doctor doesn't know? Have you ever walked out of a doctor's office thinking he doesn't know what he's talking about? He has no clue what's wrong with me. He wants to try to pretend like he does, but he has no clue. And the reason why is because you're a complete picture. And if we want to be able to please the Lord and we want to be able to be strong and be able to face this life, we have to acknowledge that there are all these arenas in our lives and we have to deal with all of them, our bodies, our emotions, as well as our mind. Your thought life, you might not know this, is the culprit in many of the issues that you find yourself facing. The way you think about life often is the reason why you're stuck in the habitual sin that you can't seem to get out of, why you have that anger problem, why you can't exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Many times, it's because of the way you think. Now, is that biblical? Is there something in the Scripture that says that? Yes, we're going to get to that. And just like last week when we talked about the emotions have this ability to deceive us and make us blind and not see things, the mind has the same kind of trickery. In fact, it's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Now, there we're saying unbelievers as if to say that there's not a possibility for the believers to be deceived also. That's dependent upon how close you are with the Lord and how much you're walking in the truth and in the Spirit. But there is this concern for deception within our own minds, let alone other people giving us information, let alone false teachers out there and all of that stuff. It's coming from inside of us. How many times do we like to try to lay blame and say, well, I wouldn't be so angry if it wasn't for the way they act and the way that guy acts, or I wouldn't be so lustful if it wasn't for that image and that image, and I wouldn't be so sad if it wasn't for this and it wasn't for that. When the reality is, most of the things you're wrestling with, it's not the other guy, it's coming inside of you. It's why Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:13, it tells us to be preparing our minds for action and being sober-minded, because this sound mind, this stability within our thought life is crucial for us to be able to be the kind of person that Jesus calls us to be. It's why Jesus and both Moses made these statements, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Now, if you're a good Bible student, you will know that in Deuteronomy, it actually says with all your might and not mind, or all your strength. So what gives? Why did Moses say might and Jesus say mind? Well, in reality, there are a lot of terms that we use today, like psychological, that they didn't use in biblical times. Not that they weren't aware of those kind of concepts, they just didn't use the same terminology. And they didn't sometimes compartmentalize things exactly in the same space that we do. So sometimes in the scripture, when the Bible says heart, it's talking about your thinking. And sometimes it's talking about your passions. Sometimes when the Bible says mind, it's talking about your thinking. And sometimes it's actually talking about your intentions and your motives. And so there's different aspects there. But the bottom line is that statement is meant to say that you're to love the Lord your God with every aspect of who you are. Which is precisely why we've been talking about that. We need to love the Lord with our bodies. We need to love the Lord with our emotions and feelings. We need to love the Lord with our thought life and the way we think, and love the Lord in our spirit and worship God in our spirit. We need to give him our everything. And yet so many times our thought lives are kind of the last thing we deal with. We just kind of let it wander and take a course of its own. And the result is that there are many symptoms and problems in your spirit, and maybe even in your emotion, in your relationships, that they're falling apart, not because of that person, not because of this situation or these circumstances. And I know many of us probably said before, you know, if this was changed or that was different, I wouldn't be having that problem. But the reality is, the Holy Spirit's inside of you, ready to enable you to tackle everything that you face. The only question is your mind right? Have you ever felt crazy before? Anybody ever feel like you're just losing it? Like you've lost your mind. You don't know which way is which direction. You feel confused. You feel baffled. You just don't know. You don't know, are my thoughts right? You know, am I thinking the way God's thinking? Or is this just me? What's going on here? And I just feel crazy. Anybody ever feel crazy before? Am I the only one? Okay, good. Thank you. Maybe you just haven't had kids. If you have kids, then that makes you feel crazy at some point. Wouldn't you love to have a sound mind, a mind that's not always disturbed, a mind that's not always shaky and uncertain? Wouldn't you love to have a sound mind, to be secure in that? Wouldn't you love that? No matter what, the circumstances don't need to change. Everything that's railing around me, it doesn't matter. In the midst of that, I can still have this sound mind, just like Jesus in the midst of that crazy storm while they were in the boat and everything was nuts. And what was he doing? Sleeping. Because nothing startled him. Nothing made him lose his mind. But I also know that if you're here in this building and if you're streaming with us, and the desire might vary from person to person, there is some part of you that wants to please Jesus Christ. Even if it's just a little bit. Hopefully for some of us, it's a lot. We really, that's the goal of our lives, is we want to be pleasing to Jesus. And sometimes the hardest thing to control to please Jesus is to make sure that what's going on inside this head of yours is pure before the Lord. Isn't that hard? I might not say the thing, but I might think it. I might not do the thing, but it's crossed my mind. And oh, how desperately I want, and I hope you want, to have a thought life that is pleasing to Jesus Christ. And the result is going to be a stability and a strength that you might never have known before. And how do we have that? Well, there are two tools that I need to possess in order to have this mental stability that we're going to see revealing itself in Scripture. And we might only get to the first tool today, and we'll do the next tool next week. The first tool is the microscope of reality. That there are certain things that are not seen that I need to understand. The thought life is something that you can't see, right? It's not something, there's not words going in front of you. Although, wouldn't you love that sometimes if you could have somebody else's thoughts and words going across the front of you so you can know exactly what they're thinking? But that's not the case. It's something that's not seen. Your passions, your desires, a lot of the stuff that's happening on the inside are things that you don't see. And so we need a microscope. We need some kind of tool to be able to see that. And the tool that we need is the Word of God and the Scripture that reveal things to us. What does the Psalm say? That the Word of the Lord is a light unto my path. It reveals things to me. It helps me to see things that I can't see without it. We also need the Holy Spirit to guide us and show us things. So what are the things that we need to see regarding this thinking, this thought life that's happening? Well, the first is going to surface to us from one, Ephesians 4, verse 22 through 24. Paul says this, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And we're going to see there's a couple of places where the Bible talks about this renewal of our minds. And we see here in Ephesians that this mind renewal, you know what it results in? Holiness and righteousness. If your mind, in God's eyes, is in the right place, then holiness and righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit, the traits of love, is what begins to flow out of your mind. Which means that true mental stability has nothing to do with your IQ score. And that doesn't mean that we don't want to be smart, we don't want to think through things. Mental stability is not determined by your IQ score. Mental stability is not determined by how much information you've crammed inside your head. Anybody a Jeopardy fan? Anybody amazed at the things that they just have inside their head? And sometimes you ever wonder, like, why do you need to know that? There's just so much stuff in there, and some people can just retain all of it. I would love to have a photographic memory. Anybody have a photographic memory? Linda, you're about to raise your hand. You're like, no, I don't have that. If you do, I'm jealous, because some people have that ability to just look at a page, and they remember everything that's on it. Some people have that. I would love to have that, wouldn't you? But your knowledge, the information you have, that doesn't mean you're mentally stable. You know what means you're mentally stable? Your behavior. If your behavior is righteous and holy, that means you're mentally stable. Some of you might be starting to thinking and wondering right now, wait a minute, is he saying I'm crazy? Because my behavior is a little shaky. And some of you might be thinking, some of my family's here. Some people who know me are sitting here, and they're probably thinking, yeah, I know, they're a little shaky. Remember that old song, They're Coming to Take Me Away, ha ha, hee hee, to the funny farm? Some of you, maybe you're all the way in that place. There's just lots of stuff falling apart, and you're smart. You have a high IQ score. You have a lot of information. You might even know a lot of scripture and Bible. You might even know a bunch of history and biblical culture and Greek and Hebrew and all of those things. But if your heart's not right, if you're not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, guess what? Your mind is not actually stable. Your mind is not actually renewed. A true renewed mind is demonstrated by the way you behave. So some of you are wondering, well, maybe I'm not as stable as I thought I was, and perhaps I need a renewed mind. Paul then says in Romans 7, verse 23, another law is waging a war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. I don't know if you know, but there's this constant war that's happening inside of you. On a regular basis, there are passions and emotions and drives, and we can put all kinds of terminology to it, but really where it comes from, whether it comes from a certain organ, a brain or a heart, isn't as relevant as you know it's there. And when it's there, you know where it goes to try to get out into the actions and the behavior? You know where it goes? It goes to the mind. The passions are at war with the law of my mind. Why? Because the mind gets to make the decisions. The mind gets to call the shots. The mind gets to decide whether or not that's going to come out of my mouth or whether or not I'm going to do that thing. The mind gets to decide that. But sometimes that passion is too strong. Those desires, the anger and the rage, the impatience, the fear, the anxiety, or the lust for whether it's impurity or whether for power or whatever things, it's just too strong, and the mind just decides that it can't resist it. In fact, sometimes the mind gets out of the way so much that the Bible refers to the possibility of our consciences being seared. As if it's completely debased. There's no ability because we've allowed the emotions to lead so much. Remember last week we said our emotions are stupid, aren't they? Our emotions are not that bright. Now, so they just don't have the ability to exercise judgment. Sometimes the emotions are dead on, okay? But many times they're not, and it takes the mind. It takes the conscience. It takes thinking to be able to tell the emotions, nope, that's actually off. We're not doing that. And so this fight is happening within you all the time. Do you ever feel that fight? Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel like all the energy is just there, just trying to, it's almost like this strong man is behind you, ready to thrust you into the fight. And we have to, if we're going to defeat this thing, we have to know that this is happening inside of me. These passions and these drives are happening and they're trying to go through the mind. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 and verse 5, Paul says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And then he says, put to death, therefore, and he lists all kinds of sinful behavior. Why? Because when our minds get set in the right place, that's when we're capable of setting aside that old flesh. In fact, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, he says the mind set on the spirit versus the mind that's set on the flesh. And so we have choices to make on a constant basis. Do you ever wish that you didn't have to make so many choices at times? We're faced with choices all the time, and some of them are incredibly difficult. And the only mind that's going to be able to make the right choices is the mind that's set on the Spirit. I'm thinking about the Spirit. I'm listening to the Spirit. I'm searching the Scriptures to know the mind of the Spirit. And I'm set on the Spirit. And when the choice comes, I choose Spirit. That's the mind that's able to get over these issues that we face in our flesh. The mind that's set on these things. Jesus said in Mark 7, verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, and then he lists all kinds of things that come outside. As much as you'd like to blame the internet or that billboard or the way that woman dressed for the lust that entered your head, it didn't come from that woman or the internet. It came from right inside of you. As much as you'd like to blame that person that's so irritating and so difficult to get along with and is testing every bit of you, as much as you'd like to blame that person for the rage and the anger and the bitterness that is welling up inside of you, it didn't come from that person. It came from within. That's who you are. Anytime you behave and act and do things, that stuff is there inside of you. Someone just provoked it to come out is all. And if we don't recognize that, we're going to constantly play the blame game where we're just going to blame somebody else. It's my circumstances. It's these things. And we're never going to tackle the issue. Don't you want to be free? Don't you want to be free from these habits and these things that you find yourself stuck in? Then you have to understand that this is the fight. It's a fight that's happening inside of me. It's also a fight. So it's bad thought life that leads to sin. That's usually what starts things, is inside your mind you've lost the battle. But also, committed sin leads to a worse thought life. Paul says in Romans 1, verse 28, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Do you remember Pharaoh? Some people wrestle with the idea of the hardening of the heart. Well, Pharaoh actually hardened his own heart, and then God responded and hardened Pharaoh's heart, and it went back and forth, and this regular hardening. Why? Because when you give in to your flesh, it doesn't affect just that moment. It gets inside of you. And some of you think, well, I'm just going to give in this moment, just now, and then I'm going to ask for grace and try to get over it. Be careful. Because the more you let the flesh make the decisions, the less power your mind has. It's why in the Scriptures, when it talks about the sins of the fathers going down from the third and the fourth generations, and then righteousness to the thousands, is because we're real behavioral, habit-forming type people. Did you know that? If you don't know that, ask somebody who knows you, and they will tell you a list of habits that you have. Some that you'll love to hear, and some of maybe you don't want to hear. Because once you give in to a passion or a drive, it sticks inside of you and it just becomes harder to deal with, and you just become more confused, and it's even harder for you to discern whether you crossed the line or not. You started watching something that maybe had something that you shouldn't be watching in it, and you kind of wondered about it and you excused it, but then you figured out, okay, it's not that bad, and you proceeded into it. Before you know it, you're watching the next thing. It has a little bit more in it and a little bit more in it. And before you know it, you get to a place where you're like, I'm not really sure what's wrong in here. Why? Because your mind is being debased. Your mind is being corrupted by your choices. And it is so difficult to get out of those habits, isn't it? Once you've let your mind go there and you start to do, I mean, people think that if I just blast the person and let it go and get all my anger out, then I won't feel mad anymore. Have any of you found that to be true? No, what usually happens when you let it all out and you just get out in a rage and you walk away, how are you still feeling? Mad. And you might even feel more justified for feeling mad because you verbalized it all out there. And now you feel more comfortable telling that person out, and before you know it, you're telling the next person off, and the next person, and the next person. Because that's the nature of flesh. The flesh doesn't want just a part of you. It wants the whole thing. Doesn't Jesus say you can't serve two masters? You will either be enslaved to one or the other. There is actually no true total freedom where you're making all your own choices. You have one choice. You know what it is? To let the flesh be my master, or to let the Spirit be my master. Who is your master this morning? You might say, well, it's Jesus. Praise God. I love Jesus. Jesus is my master. Words do nothing. What does your life look like? Does your life demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit and the traits of love and the beatitudes and those kind of things? Does your heart demonstrate a person who's surrendered to Jesus Christ? Or is your flesh leading you? What do we do then? If we're stuck in this scenario, what do we do? How do we get out? If we admit that it's hard to win this battle, it's hard to face this fight. And I'm telling you, if you understood the purity of God, you know how wicked you are. If you truly understand the purity of which God calls us to walk, you know how far from it you are. So how do we find deliverance? Well, Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 7, after describing a life of following Jesus Christ, someone who is walking after the things of God, you know what he says about that person or the result of doing that? In Philippians 4, verse 7, he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That when I'm following Jesus and not following my cravings and my desires, not following my fear and my anxiety, not following my anger or my lust or my cravings or any of those things, when I follow Jesus, then I have this renewal that happens in my mind, only if I have him. In fact, Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 and 15, he says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things. The only way you can see right from wrong, the only way you can see the pathway out, the only way you can find the deliverance from the habits and the things that bind you, the only way you can do that is by giving yourself over entirely to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus Christ. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? I'm going to issue you a challenge this morning. One that very few of you, if any, will take me up on. I'm going to invite you to come down and lay yourself at the altar before Jesus as a living sacrifice. Because I know some of you, you have things that you're desperate to get rid of. Things that for some of you, maybe a lot of people know. For the others of you, you're the only one that knows that that stuff is inside of you. You haven't done it on the outside. You haven't behaved that way on the outside, but it's on the inside. There are some of you, they would never be able to know that you're filled with anger and bitterness because you're so nice and kind on the outside, but on the inside, it's bottled up in there. And what does Jesus say? He says, if you hate your brother, it's just as if you murdered them. If you lust after a woman, it's just as if you already committed adultery with her. And so if it's inside of you, it's corroding you and destroying you just like it would if it was on the outside. So what's the solution? To start doing what's on the inside? No. The solution is to give ourselves to Jesus Christ. But here's the catch. And those of you that are streaming, I'll be off the screen for just a moment. The catch is that James says in James chapter 5, verse 16, he says, and you will be healed. You know what he instructs us to do before the healing comes, though? One is to come forward and have the elders of the church pray for you. But you know what the other thing is? To confess your sins to one another. Not just confess it to God, confess your sins to other people. Then the freedom will come. Some of you, you have things that have been rotten inside of you and destroying you, and you've just been facing it all by yourself, and you don't want to tell anybody for whatever the reason. You don't want people to look down on you. You don't want people to know your business, whatever it is. You don't want to tell anybody. And there's a freedom that you're not gaining because you're not confessing to others. And so here's what I'd like to challenge you to do. And you can, listen, you can come down to this altar without going over there, and that's fine. No one's going to judge you. But I'd like to challenge you, you're going to come to this altar because there's something, a battle in your mind or in your flesh that you need to lay at this altar and give to Jesus and ask, I want deliverance. Then I challenge you to first stop over by that microphone and say, listen, I just want to confess that this is what I'm dealing with. You don't need to make a speech. It doesn't need to be long. Just a confession. And I'll start, and I have a microphone here, so I'll start it here. I will confess that I have an anger problem. And it comes out mostly with my children. And I need deliverance from that. And so I'll be the first to step down at this altar and lay myself before Jesus as a living sacrifice. Why? Because I want to be pleasing to my Savior, and I want to be free. Don't you? So as they lead us, will you come and find freedom by seeking him or by confessing to us? I'm going to give you another invitation. Is John back in the back there?
Yeah, he is.
John. Will you come stand on my left over here? Alma, will you come stand on my right over here? Yes. Another chance here. You have a sin that you want to confess. I'm telling you there's freedom in it. If you're a man, I want you to go to see John. If you're a woman, I want you to go see Alma. And you didn't want to confess it before the whole body, but you need to confess it to someone. Don't leave this place missing an opportunity. And so when we conclude in a moment, I want you to come see one of these two. And again, you don't need to make a big speech. You don't need to stay long. But you just need to say that I'm confessing that I have an issue with this. That's it. Deliverance. The Holy Spirit wants to give that to us. Dan, you have something to say.
I would like to give a testimony that for 35 years, I would say, it was something that happened to me when I was young. And I was so ashamed of it that I would never say anything. And it took me 35 years to tell my wife what that was. Don't wait that long. If you got something really going on, give it up. I mean, you don't have to, just like this, but he said, go to John. He's faithful. And go to, who's up there, over here. And he'll set you free. Once you get that freedom, then I don't have it on you no more. Lord sent me up here for a reason, so. And if you find yourself don't want to come up, then tell him first.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Stan. If you're online, if you're streaming with us, you're bold enough, you're not here to find a person here, but you can confess online in comments. I know there'll be people on there that would love to love on you, be there for you. Or you could, of course, message us on Facebook or text us. We'd be glad to pray with you. Listen, we're not talking about perfection. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about being better. Being better than what you were yesterday. Getting better. And Paul says that in Philippians chapter 3. Beginning of verse 12, not that I have already obtained this, and he was describing perfection, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward towards what lies ahead. This is what we need to take seriously, is to fight this fight and defeat the flesh and win and be victorious. We are victorious in Christ. Amen. So, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would help us to walk in that freedom. We ask that you would help us when our flesh is weak, that you would just give us an increase of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that you would help us to be open to that, willing to let you in. That you would drive us into the Scriptures, that you would drive us into fellowship, that you would drive us to confess. Lord, pretending like we are something that we're not is not a way to get deliverance. But just staying stuck in our problems isn't either. We need to humbly admit that we have problems and keep moving forward. Keep pressing on. Help us, Lord, to have that spirit in us so that we can glorify you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You excited to walk in victory? You excited to be free? So I had mentioned that we only covered the first tool. So next week we're going to talk about the second tool of deliverance of our thought life. And as always, the offering plates are in the back. You can give as you leave. And we thank you so much for your willingness to sow financially into the kingdom. You've helped us to do a lot of great things, and we appreciate that. We encourage you to do so continually. Again, plates are in the back. If you're online, you can give online. Special, the food program, if you want to mention that, give to that as well. But next week, we're going to talk about the vitamins you need to take spiritually. Because it's not just coming to Jesus saying, Lord, just take over. Jesus, take the wheel kind of thing. There's actually some things that you need to do to be set free in your minds. And next week, we're going to look at that. Amen? Well, thank you for being with us this morning. I pray that the Lord blesses you and gives you freedom. We'll see you next week. God bless you.